Today I would like to study with you something of the history of Israel. I feel like we learn in many ways, especially when we are paying attention to other people, right? Other people's behaviors or actions or experiences can help us also in our learning process. And the story today is based in 1 Corinthians 10. So please, if you can open your Bibles with me, 1 Corinthians 10. This is what I want to share with you today. The Apostle Paul is the one who wrote the letter to the Corinthians. He was the founder of this church. But at the time, he was preaching in many different cities. So once the church was established and the believers were in there and they placed leaders and different people in charge of the organization, they moved to the next city and started a new church. And in time, they have a group of churches in that part of the world. So here in 1 Corinthians 10, you have the story of the church at Corinthian. This church was located in a city who used to be a port. And they have some problems in that particular church. One of the problems that they used to confront is that they had fights among the members. The members were fighting and to the point that they were suing each other and going in front of the judges of the city to get arrangements of their problems. The other issue that is mentioned in this letter is a problem with somebody that have like a very immoral life. He was living with his stepmother, and Paul is seriously about that, saying that that's something that even people who don't believe in God even practice. So he's quite serious about that issue. They have other issues in reference to abuse in the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Communion. A lot of the members, they used to drink wine, the real wine with alcohol, and they get drunk at church and start misbehaving and treating bad other members. It seems like at the church they used to have very rich people and very poor people. They had some slaves, they have some free people, they have some Greeks, some Jewish members. So you have a different, quite mix in that congregation. And that presents several challenges for the church. And here in chapter 10, Paul is speaking about Israel. And he's trying to tell them, listen, we should pay attention to what happened to Israel because there's many lessons that we can get from them that we shouldn't repeat. And today I would like to tell you, we should read what will happen here in this church in Corinth because we shouldn't repeat the same stories in our church here, right? So let's go to the chapter 10 and start reading verse 1. Moreover, this is Paul speaking to the church. Brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Now, in other Bibles, and it's possible that in your Bible, the word unaware is replaced for the word, I don't want you to be ignorant. Right? What is ignorant really means? Can somebody be ignorant in purpose? Yes, we can be ignorant in purpose when we don't want to find the truth, right? When we want to live according to our own rules. Do ignorance prevent you from receiving punishment? No? Are you sure about that? You can argue, I didn't know. Right? I didn't know that that was the law of the land and should be get free from this one. Well, in occasions, if you have like a nice police officer that maybe has some compassion and your ignorance, he will let you go. But the majority of them, they will tell you, no, the fact that you don't know the law doesn't excuse you from breaking it. So ignorance is not always a good thing, right? What happens when we are ignorant about the things that they are supposed to be known for us? Well, we can get bad consequences, right? We can get bad results. And that's what Paul is saying. I don't want you to be ignorant about Israel because what happened to Israel applied to you and applied to me. In what sense? In the spiritual way, applied to us, but also in the material way, also applied to us. So he's saying to them, listen, don't be ignorant about these things and pay attention to these details. Number one, all the people of Israel, after they were free from slavery in Egypt, they were baptized by God and into Moses. You remember that story, right? How that happened? How that baptism happened? Well, when you're reading here in 1 Corinthians, let's continue reading verse 1 and 2 here. They all go through the cloud and all pass through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So Paul is using the illustration, getting under the water, as an illustration for what? For baptism, right? Do the Jewish believers practice baptisms? They did. In fact, John the Baptist was one of the first ones who started advising the people in Israel to get baptized again. What was the reason for John the Baptist to invite people to be baptized? Or what was the core of the message from John the Baptist? You remember? What was the message? Repent. Very good. He was calling the nation to repent. Because according to this prophet, the nation was moving away from God. He was moving astray from God. So John the Baptist is the first one who started preaching in Israel. And he's the one who started calling everybody snakes and serpents. You remember that? That's quite a nice sermon, right? Generations of serpents and snakes, you need to repent. And I don't know how many of you will react positive to that message. But it seems like a lot of people did. They listened to the message, and after they hear the preacher, they decide to get baptized as a symbol of repentance, you know, trying to change their lives. Now, Paul is making a point here, and the point is this, that although people can get baptized, although people can come to church and even participate in spiritual symbols than the one that we are participating today, that doesn't mean that we are completely in good standing with God. That's what Paul is trying to present to them. And let's continue reading here in chapter 10. We will discover why. Verse number 3. All ate the same spiritual food. You remember the spiritual food that they eat at the desert? The manna, right? And they all drank the same spiritual drink, referring to the water that came from the rock. And they drank from that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But when most of them, God was not well pleased for their bodies, they are scattered into the wilderness, or they are scattered at the desert. So why God wasn't pleased with these people? Why? They were participating in the same spiritual activities like everybody else, right? They were baptized. They were advised to eat the same spiritual food. They were advised to eat the same spiritual drink. But something inside of them, it wasn't quite straight with God. And that's what verse 6 is explaining here. Now, these things became our samples to the intent that we should now lust after evil things that they also lusted. So Paul now is developing his argument in a more deep way. He's telling them that one of the first problems that the people in Israel had is related to lust. What is lust? But it's more specifically connected with what? Knowing food is connected with sex. Lust is having a strong desire for sex. It is an uncontrollable desire for sex. And although, like Robert said, you can have lust for food, right? But in this case, it was more connected with the fact that they were being immoral. And now, you remember a particular story or episode in Israel that brings to your memory the fact that they were being lustful. Do you remember anything like that? Okay, let me help you. When Moses goes to the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments from God, you remember, he spent some time at the mountain with God. And something started happening in Israel, right? When the people among the Israelites. Number one, they start thinking, well, it has been a long time that we don't see Moses. It is possible that Moses is dead. It's possible that maybe when he was climbing, he fell through one of the cliffs or a rock. Something happened. Because we haven't heard anything from Moses, and maybe Moses is never coming back. He's taking too long. So after they reasoned that, the next idea was, well, we have people here who believe that God brought them out of Egypt. So we need to help these people to continue having this faith. And what they decide to do in order to help the believers there to have faith, they make a, an image, right, of this little cow made of gold. So the first step in the downfall for Israel was idolatry, right? It seems like when we start idolizing something, we move away from God. Now, you would probably tell me today, Pastor, we don't have images. We don't worship anything in our houses today. And let me ask you something today. Do you believe that people today practice idolatry? In what way? Do you see like chanting or dancing in front of idols? Well, some do, right? But not everybody. What is the most common practice of idolatry today? Well, that's true. TV is one of the idolatries. What else? But the most common practice of idolatry today, well, money is a one, yeah. Music, sports too can be an idol. Very good. The most common practice of idolatry today is the self. You know, it is really popular today in our society. What is the name of the picture that you take with a phone, a cellular phone, or yourself? What is the name for that? The same name is explaining, you right? It comes from the same root, being selfish. And it is really common. You find idolatry of the self everywhere today. Some people will encourage you to do exercise, not because the health part of the exercise, but because you need to look hot and sexy, right? Doesn't matter how old you are, you need to look hot and sexy. And I never get it, right? What do you have to do with hot? You know, like. Anyway, people continue to practice idolatry today in the way that we dress ourselves, right? We select clothes for different reasons. You can select clothes because you want to cover your body or because you want to accentuate some part of your body to look better, right? And if you don't have these parts of the body that make you happy, you can go to a surgeon and get some plastic surgery and get better. And if you had the money, you can improve anything pretty much today, right? The color of your skin, the color of your teeth, if your teeth are straight or crooked, they can fix it for you. The quality of your clothing, the shoes, the purses, watches, today is everywhere, right? It's the idolatry of the self. So Israel had the same issue too. They noticed that they were alone at the desert. They ignored that God was watching them, but they were thinking, well, there's nobody here. Let's create an idol. For some reason, human beings, we need to get attached to something, right? To see our God, get connected with this God. And they asked Aaron to please build this calf, and he did. And that's one of the things that kind of like puzzled me, because he was the leader of the nation in the spiritual sense, and he agreed to build this idol. They didn't know that idols were bad? What do you think? They did. However, a big part of the nation was pushing for that. And in occasions, the majority rules, right? So that's when it happens. So they start having idolatry, and then God wasn't pleased with that. But that was the first step. Continue reading with me. And the people sat down to eat and drink and then rose to play. That's the next verse. Is anything wrong with drinking and eating? What do you think? What you eat and what you drink. That's correct. But there's nothing wrong with eating and drinking. That's part of your necessities, right? Taking care of your body. But it seems like they start eating and drinking in a very without control, in a very abusive way. And it's possible that they were drinking alcoholic beverage here to the point that they get really, really drunk. And what happened to a person when they get really, really drunk? Your morals, your barriers, your inhibitions, and all these things that we protect us that when we normally have, when you have in your normal state of mind, when you get drunk, they disappear, right? It's no longer there. If you are a shy person, after you take two tequilas, what will happen to you? Hey, you will be like a chat box, right? Talking to everybody and being polite. And It is a connection with the physical and the spiritual, and that's what Paul is trying to present here. For then this connection begins with food and drinking. Remember, the first step was the idolatry part. Then he connected with food and drinking. And what was the next step in this downfall for Israel? They rose to what? To play. And you know that the Bible is using an euphemistic term here, right? It's not like they start playing cards or soccer. You know, what the Bible is implying here is that they became a big orgy, pretty much. It's sexual innuendo again. So the nation, it was getting worse and worse every single time that they were moving away from God. And somehow Paul is making this illustration. He's saying, listen, what happened to Israel, it can happen to us today. Do you agree with me on this? Do you think that we can make the same mistakes? I agree. I think we can make the same mistakes. We are human. We have our temptations and our battles and different difficulties. So the sermon continues here to the point that this is the reason why God was unpleased with these people. Let's read here in verse number 8. No, let us commit any sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. No, let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, and they were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain as some of them complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for us, for our own admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages had come. So the point of the whole story here, although it's a negative story, it's a sad story, is that this should be as a lesson for us, right? So kind of like, I'm presenting you the bad side so you don't repeat it. Learn by mistakes, in other words. Do Christians have any help today to avoid these mistakes? What do you think? Or we are destined to commit these old things again over and over? Well, Paul is presenting now the solution to this problem. He's saying, listen, yeah, it's true that we make mistakes, and it's possible that we get away from God, but it is a solution for this problem. And that's the part that I need you to pay attention today. That's verse 12 on. Therefore, let who thinks what? That he stands, take heed, lest he fall. What he's saying here? What is Paul trying to imply here? If you are confident that you are strong spiritually, that none of these things will ever happen to you, right? Because you are beyond that. You already moved. You already conquered all these things. What Paul is saying to you and to me is, don't be fooled. That can happen to you too. Don't think that you are better than them. Don't think that we are special because we are the church of the last days and we have so much knowledge and we all know all about this prophecy. If we don't take care of some basic things, these things can happen to us too. Right? What is the admonition here? Continue reading with me. So if you think that this thing can happen to you, don't be fooled. Pay attention to this. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to men. But God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond that what you are able to withstand. But with the temptation, he will also make the escape that you may be able to bear it. Now, this is one of the most important promises in the Bible, right? How do you understand this promise over here? Number one, temptation will happen to Christians, right? Do you have temptations? Please don't tell me that you don't have temptations because I will really concern with you. You tell me, no, Pastor, I don't get tempted by anything. I would probably think you are dead. Because as long as you are alive, I don't care how old you are or how young you are, we all get tempted. Because we have an enemy that he doesn't rest until he destroys us. Number one. And number two, we are in a spiritual battle. And maybe you think nobody can understand my temptation. What I'm trying to tell you is that, yes, we can understand. Because it's possible that here, maybe we share some of the same temptations, the same struggles. Right? What the Bible is telling us here is, number one, we will be tempted, right? But also, we will have a solution with that temptation. What is the solution? God had promises that we won't be tempted over our capacity. Right? That when temptation, He will provide a solution for us. Amen? The problem is, in occasions, we know the solution, but we don't want to take it. Right? I used to meet people. Have you met people that every single time that they have an issue, a problem, they always blame it in the enemy? I mean, not that the enemy doesn't want to create problems, but a lot of the problems that we have, they are not caused by the enemy. They are caused by our own advice, our own ideas, right? They come from our own creativity. So please don't use that excuse. Oh, I just get tempted and the enemy, you know, put this in front of me. It is possible that the enemy put that in front of us, but we still have a choice. And that's the important part, right? The temptation we cannot avoid, but what we can take is the solution from God, right? Now, are all the temptations the same? No. Some are bigger and stronger than others. Some of you will experience some battles that they are very difficult to understand. That the only one who can understand these battles is Jesus Christ. I want you to remember that when you fall, when you fail for any mistakes that we make, right? The first thing that will happen to you is that the enemy will talk to you, right? What is what Satan normally say to people who commit sin? It's no point to continue trying, right? What is the point? Look, this is who you really are. Why you don't give up? Why are you going to church? Why? You continue being the same person, right? I'm telling you, that's not God speaking to you. Because I experience the same things that probably you do too. Don't be a hypocrite. Why are you going to church? You had communion today. Don't partake, you know. What he's doing with you? Well, you are down. So what the enemy does when you are down is he starts kicking you and keeping you down. So you don't move. So God today is giving us an invitation. And you need to keep in mind this. Yes, it's true that as a human being, we are weak and we make mistakes. It's true. And it's also true that we commit sins and that we have temptations. But it's more important to remember that God has provided somebody to help us. That what you need to do is exercise your faith and claim the promise. Ask God for forgiveness. When the people in Israel was attacked by serpents, what was the solution according to God? Explain to me the solution. You get bitten by a cobra in the desert. And the solution was, yes, let me give you the anti-venom, right? No, that's not the solution according to the... Look at that serpent and you will be healed. Now, explain that to me in a scientific way. What is the connection between a metal serpent and healing? Is there any logical connection there? Yes, it makes sense, right? It's not logical. If you get bitten by a snake, you need the anti-venom and go to the doctor really quick. Otherwise, you will get, you know, really sick and die. But God's solutions are a little different. The solution for the people in Israel was exercise faith in me as God, and I will heal you. And it's interesting that later, many centuries later, Jesus is using the same illustration when he's speaking to Nicodemus. Do you remember? As the serpent was raised at the desert, the Son of Man will be raised. So whoever believes in God and Jesus will be had salvation. You remember that? So it's the same promise for us today. If we get beaten by the snake, by Satan, by sin, what we need to do? Look at what? Look at the cross again, right? How that happened? Explain that to me in scientific ways. How looking at the cross will heal you? It's just faith, believing in the power of God, that He will work in your heart. You get it? So what the enemy is always trying to do is prevent you to get close back with Jesus. Because as long as you are discouraged, as long as you are depressed, as long as you don't want to pray, as long as you don't want to have any contact with God, then you are in deep trouble, right? Have you ever felt like really discouraged that you don't even want to talk to God? You don't want to pray anymore? Have you ever experienced that? What do you do when you are like that? What do? You don't want to pray anymore. What do you do? What should we do? Let's pray. Not because it's in you, it's because you are asking God to give you the strength to continue. Have you ever been so discouraged that you don't want to come back to church? Had anyone here experienced that? What would you do? Stay at home? Let's go to the mall. It's a beautiful day today. Let's go back to God, because it's important for us to have that connection. So the reason that Paul is telling us these stories today is because we live in difficult times. Our society, our churches are no different like from the people 3,000 years ago. We're still having the same problems. It's the same basic human nature, right? But it's the same God providing the same solutions, right? And it works as long as we get God back to Him. Today we have the symbols here in front of you. They are simple symbols, very simple. We have grape juice and a piece of bread. And we are not making claims here that after we pray for these, they will be transformed in blood and the real body of Jesus. We don't do that, right? They continue being what? Symbols of the body and the blood of Jesus. But it's by faith that we are exercising this food as a spiritual food, helping and asking God to help us to continue in our way. You don't think it's a little interesting that when somebody gets really, really sick, instead of going to the doctor and taking medication, they decide to do nothing? What will happen to that person? If you had spiritual problems, if you got a struggle with temptation, you don't want to get close to God, right? You don't want to do anything until you get better. When that will happen? Never. That's the point. This we are here as a church is because we need it, right? We need this help. And that's what people outside doesn't get in occasions, that the ones who come to church are the ones who are sick. The ones who are in need of God. And that's why we're here, right? Not because we are perfect. To the contrary, because we need it, actually, to get close to Him. So may God help you in your daily walk. And today, I encourage you to partake of the communion service. Now, I know some of you have children, and I will say this with a lot of respect. You know your children better than me. The deacons will be serving everybody. If you want your kids to partake of the communion, it's up to you. If you explain them, you know, the meaning, if you think that they are too small, whatever you decide to do with respect. But the deacons will be, you know, offering everybody the bread and the wine. So we encourage you to please to partake of this. Today, as always, we have three rooms. In the fellowship hall, we have a special room for husbands and wives. My wife, by the way, is not here today because she's taking care of my son that had surgery yesterday, dental surgery. So that's the reason she's not here. Otherwise, I will be there with you guys. But if you have your wife here, I encourage you, go there. You know, pray for each other as a couple, as a spouse. You need it. The enemy is destroying a lot of families. Just continue fighting the good fight. If you are alone, like me, single guy today, for a little brief time, we have a space here for the gentlemen too. Gabriela, what is the section for the room here in my right will be the room for the guys, for the gentlemen. And in the room in the left here is for the ladies. So if everybody here want to participate, it's an opportunity for everybody. Amen. Let's pray and we will move to the different classrooms right now. Heavenly Father, it's with gratitude that we come today and ask You for forgiveness and ask You for Your help. Lord, we continue to endure temptation and problems and struggles. We don't claim perfection, O God. We are asking You to please give us Jesus Christ justice. Today, in faith, preparing for taking the symbols, we ask you for forgiveness for the mistakes that we made and for the things that we did wrong, so we can be prepared now that we are partaking of the communion. In Jesus' name, amen.